As Brandon said, it's something that I feel like has been important for my own walk, and it goes along with where we've been. So if you're joining us for the first time and you happen to be from El Paso, I can give you an update on where things are at. Hey guys. So Brandon has started a series that we are going to conclude today. I think we've called it the Foundation Series. Unofficially, yet officially on the website. And we've walked through what basically new believers would be, you know, interested in hearing and what would be good for new believers to hear. At the same time, it's good for existing believers or veteran believers to also hear some of this stuff again. You know, Peter says that, hey, occasionally it's good to be reminded of some of this stuff because we can forget it. And so I think it just came at a great time, coincidentally, at the beginning of the year to say, hey, there's new year, you know, some new things that we've probably lodged in the back of our minds as, oh yeah, that would be good, but, you know, I don't often think about that. Brandon's brought that to the forefront and said, hey, I think we need to think about that more. So that's what we're doing. So I'm utterly convinced that God runs the best volunteer organization in the world. I don't know how much you know about volunteers, but if you ever had to work with them, it's a challenge. One thing that you should know, and hopefully you take this warning and apply it, if you ever go to an ASU football game or basketball game or softball game or any sort of sporting event at ASU and or a graduation, you should know that the entire stadium is ran by volunteers. Not a single person in there cooking the food or serving the food or selling the food is certified or trained in any way, except for our group, because we've done it for like 4 or 5 years, which is somewhat frightening. So just think about all the effects of that and what could or could not come out of that. And next time you go and order a double bacon cheeseburger from someone who's professionally trained on the grill, just think like, man, I wonder if a chef made this or a junior year architecture major made this and just has a passion to bring it to me. And I think that'll help balance your expectations and your enjoyment of it. But what's so crazy and interesting is that every week during football season, all these volunteers show up and they're basically just assigned places and they're like, hey, go and serve and succeed and we're with you. But there's very little training. And I think about that in the same way of God's church, that all around the world, God is appointing us to show up. And what's funny about God's church is that when you show up, they say, you know, what are you good at? I don't know. I like doing this. Great, you're in charge of that. What? I said, I like doing it. I didn't realize that I was formally trained in doing it. But that's how God's whole church works around the world. He's entrusted, you know, the building of his body to volunteers, I would say. Now, he gives us abilities and giftings, which we'll talk about. And he gives us, you know, each other and feedback and a lot of grace, both from him and from each other. But at the same time, we're sort of just winging some of this stuff and figuring it out. And it's just based on a body of people that come together that say, hey, I have a passion for this, or I have skills in this or an interest in that. And for us just to recognize it and appoint it and say, cool, great, you are good to go. Best of luck. And so, anyway, I am utterly shocked that God has been successful at doing it for so many thousands of years, because ASU has been doing it for 20 years and they're not as successful at it. So, but anyway, that being said, let's pray real quick and then we'll jump in. So, God, thanks for the opportunity to serve. Thank you that you served us. God, thank you for the foundations of Christianity. God, things that we should not forget, should be at the forefront of our mind. And thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing in us, what you will lead us into. In your son's name, amen. We're going to look at two passages. I'm going to have faith that when I click this, it works behind me. Normally, there's a little cool little screen up here. There's not, so it didn't work. See? No faith. How's it work? There we go. I'm going to test it real quick. Okay, cool. So we're going to look at two parallel passages here to start us off. First one, 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace and its various form. And Ephesians 4, But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Perfect. Some takeaways from these two verses, because these are going to be the foundations here. I have four. Excellent. One, every believer has been given gifts. Shocker. 1 Peter 4, as I said, each of you should use whatever gift. Ephesians 4, 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Common question would be, what are they? How do I find them? My personal thought, trial by fire. Go and figure them out. Sorry if you were waiting for some profound thought. But I think you sort of just go and figure them out, or it's geared towards a passion that you have, or you do something and others around you are like, hey, that was really good, or you're really good at that, or hey, I've seen this in your life. But you should just know that you have them. Not because I've given them to you or I say that you have them, but Paul and Christ say that you have them because God gives them to you because he's running the best volunteer organization in the world. To the purpose of those gifts is to serve others. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. But to, in Ephesians 4 again, but to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is what it says, da-da-da-da-da. You jump down to verse 11. So Christ gave himself, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, basically leaders of the church, to do what? To equip his people for works of service. So that's the leader's role, is to equip people to serve in their various forms. Therefore, purpose of gifts as given by God that everyone has is to use them to serve one another. Three, service comes in a variety of forms, and it's given to us in the same way that grace is given to us. It's apportioned. Some people have more of it. Some people have less of it. Meaning there's not a universal way to serve because everyone has their own flavor of service. But the goal is always the same for each one of them. And so here's an example that I attempted to come up with. So it would be as if, you know, we have our potluck back there. If I have, you know, money in my wallet, which I never do, but if I did, and I had a 5, a 20, and a 50, which would be nice, and I just randomly looked at you and said, hey, you know, can someone go buy food? The only goal is there's 100 of us that need to eat. So I hand one of you a 5, and one of you a 20, and one of you a 50. And so you go out, and you do what? You buy food, hopefully. But, you know, how would you do it? This is group participation. How would you use the $50? Just so I know, in case I ever give you 50. Scratch tickets. That's not bad thinking, because you could turn 50 into 10,000. Not a bad idea. Costco. I mean, that's a great option. Pizzas. You would share the 50 with someone else. Don't give a lady 50 if the goal is to... To bring food to our potluck. Okay, what about 20? What if you have 20 bucks? What would you do? Chick-fil-A? It's Sunday. That doesn't work. And you could get 4 chicken sandwiches for 20. Yeah. Canes, okay. The student group has thought about this because occasionally their parents give them a 20. Okay. Well, so there are ways to fail here. But it's interesting to hear your guys' mindset, which is naturally built into you, which is, man, I need to make this stretch. I need to make it worth its while. I have an obligation. I have a goal, even if it's buying Pringles or pizzas or subs or whatever. It's like, man, I have been given something that I now need to be a good steward of because I have a goal and I have a purpose. So in this analogy, I think this is similar to, hopefully it's similar, otherwise I wouldn't have told it, to serving. We each have been given different amounts of grace, it says. We are to steward that grace through the skills and resources that God has given us. But it's all been different. In the student world this week, we talked about Luke 22, where, you know, faith, it seems like, is apportioned to us as well. Faith is given in different amounts. Technically, Romans says that, but we were looking at Luke. And so you would have expectations based on what people are able to give and bring and how they have been, you know, apportioned something. But there is a way to fail, in a way. There is a way to be selfish about it. But, you know, the goal, hopefully, is that, no, I see this as others, and I'm going to utilize the best that I have. And we would maybe tap on some people's shoulders, like if someone here worked at Domino's Pizza, like we might give them the 50, because in theory, they get pizzas at a cheaper price, and so their skill set is more known around the church, and so we, you know, we adapt to that. So, all right, that's the third example. What did I see? That service comes in a variety of forms, but in its, it is given to us in the same way that grace is given to us. It's apportioned. They're not all equal, and that's okay. Sweeping the floor is just as equal as bringing the food, is just as equal as setting up chairs. I mean, these are practical ones within our church, but there'd be a lot of ways to serve here, and they would all have value. Fourth, that is the idea. Not all gifts are created equal, but are equally valued and needed. In the same way, someone's going to eat the Pringles and someone's going to eat the burritos. Like, food is food in a way. There's better food, but, you know, food is food. And so all of these gifts, because they're coming from God, they're seen as equal. So what would be the motivation for walking out service? Because I don't think it comes naturally. So Mark 10, Jesus is with his disciples, as he usually is, and this is the third time that he says, hey, I'm about to die. I'm going to be taken from you. Horrible things are going to happen to me. And they start arguing, which is shocking. It's actually each time Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to be taken and killed, they all end up fighting about which one of them is the greatest. I think it's just, I don't know, I'd be shocked if I was Jesus. It seems like he's not. He's totally fine with that. And he even addresses it. The third time, finally, he says, hey, you will be great in heaven. But he says something like this, you know, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so because serving does not come as a natural thing for us, even though we have the natural inclination of it, I think that there's some barriers or some reasons that we would say, hey, I don't know if I want to do that. And so I think we just bring it back to the foundation, the gospel. We bring it back to our motivation. We bring it back to our teacher, which is, why would we do something like this? Well, because he did it. Why would we go out and evangelize? Well, because he did it. Why would we go out and try to heal people and love one another? Well, because he did it. And he asked us. And the goal of us in our lives is to aspire to become more and more like him, to be conformed to his image. And so if he is a servant, and he says multiple times, you know, I'm a servant. Father apportioned me to be a servant. I'm apportioning you to be a servant. You know, the greatest among you will be your servant. So we go, okay, well, he's done this, and we know it's good, but we don't always want to do it. And so I thought through a handful of reasons we might not want to do it, what the Bible would say about that. First one would be common reasons. Am I on track here? Excellent. We want to make much of us in life rather than giving Christ his praise, glory, and power, a.k.a. selfishness. It's simple. We just call it out. It's easy because it's true. It's like, man, I don't want to serve in this moment because I want something out of this. Like, I don't want to have to think about others. Like, I could get this. You know, that would be tested if someone brought back a steak. That's how we would refine this and figure out who is interested in giving versus, man, I sort of want that steak. So here's a verse. This is audience participation. Someone read John 3:30. Whatever translation suits you. You must increase, I must decrease. John the Baptist is thought. John the Baptist was known as, you know, the greatest among all men, I believe is the phrase used to describe him. Yet he says, hey, even me, I must decrease, Jesus must increase, because my time is left and his time is here, and he's deserving of all of it. So reason number one, we may not want to actually serve or walk into it. We're caught in the mindset of, man, I need to be made great of, and Jesus needs to be made so of. And that should switch. It should say, no. Like, I do this because he's motivated me to do it. He's asked me to do it. He needs me to do it. And I want to do it because he first did it to us. Two, We get so caught up on serving the least of these that we forget to serve the most of these. That's an interesting one. Matthew 25:40. Someone want to grab that? Not as many people have it tattooed on them. So. There's two things within that. The king will reply to them. Who's them? Believers or the disciples at the time standing in front of them. How about the phrase brothers and sisters? Who were Jesus' brothers and sisters? You know, call it blasphemy, but I wouldn't say that they're unbelievers. He says, my brothers are whoever does the will of God. Now, unbelievers, of course, can become his brothers. And so if he's saying, hey, do this to the least of these, he's saying, hey, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these, you did for me. I think an easy excuse that we would bring up and think about serving is, oh, the believers are set. They're already fine. I'm going to go serve the poor. I'm going to go serve homeless. I'm going to go serve these other people. Like, they need my attention. But the most of these, which is us, the ones having eternal life, like, we need service as well. I got some weeds in my backyard. Well, take notes. But I was thinking in my own life. I'm like, why don't I serve people in the church? I go, I'm believing either someone else will do it or God himself will do it. Maybe that's a righteous thought. Maybe it's a not righteous thought. And I go, my attention should be elsewhere. And I go, well, there's value, you know. We can. I'm recalling when Peter and Paul were talking, and Paul's basically defining the gospel as he has been sharing it for a decade. And they say, yeah, that's all good. Also, remember to serve the poor. And he says, yes, for which I already wanted to do. Like, I was already planning on doing that. So I go, yeah, let's not neglect the poor. But at the same time, the believers around us, like, they are also in our wheelhouse. Like, they should have our attention. And I don't think we can think, you know, holier than thou for either unbelievers or people that need a more visible help. There's a ton of help needed right here. So, number three, we are not sure what our gift is. My note says, remember, it's not about you anyway. Your gift changes, maybe. Maybe it's the same, maybe it's not. Maybe during different circumstances, it's one thing. Now, you might be really good at one thing, but at times take on the role of something else. I didn't have a verse associated with this, but I remember when Paul's talking about spiritual giftings, he talks about one of his is teaching. But at the same time, he says he didn't come to people with elegant words on purpose so that he wouldn't be made much of, but the gospel would be made much of. So what was Paul's teaching? In my opinion, it was writing letters. He was phenomenal at writing letters. I don't necessarily see him as an amazing, you know, stand up and say something. And so there would be different ways of looking at these gifts anyway. You might say like, oh, I'm really good at that. But maybe within that, you're better at something. Such as I'm a better writer than I am a physical teacher, someone to stand up. But I could write something and hand that off to someone else or, you know, distribute it like Paul did. This one I just want to spend a little bit of time on. We believe our gift isn't important or as good as the others. Anyone want to read Acts 6:1-7? Yeah, so when I first read this, I was actually taken back. I was like, it seems like they're mocking or saying something negative here. Like, it seems like they're burdened with this. It's like, hey, the widows need help, but guys, we're the apostles. Like, we can't be worried about this stuff. And I actually think that was true, but not in the negative sense. I think in a positive sense. And so they go, hey, because we care, because there is this need, because our gifts are over there, like, who else walked with this guy for 3.5 years? We did. Like, we have to go over there. Let's show faith. Let's bring the community together. It says they brought all the disciples together. So anyone that was believing at that time, they brought them together, and they go, hey, there's this need among us. These widows need to be taken care of. Who will do it? And people step forward in faith, and we go, well, obviously Stephen had a lot of faith. We read about him later. But then they laid their hands on him, and the whole community said, yes, this is good. Let's do it. And the disciple says, good, you do it, because that is your skill set, your gifting right now, your way of serving us. We have other things we need to be doing. And so originally when I read this, I was like, man, that's a shame. Like, that is, I would feel like, man, I'm not one of them. Like, my gifts are serving, like, it's not valuable. Like, it's not needed. It's not anywhere public. But it's like, no. I truly believe in those moments the apostles are like, hey, this is a good thing. We need you. Like, we can't do our job if you don't do your job. This all needs to be working out together. And I go, man, there was huge faith shown in it from those guys. So it's interesting as well, that serving of tables, that's one of the literal definitions of serve. It's to be like a waiter. It shouldn't come as a surprise, but one of the Greek ways of saying it is serving tables. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 12:5. What's this one say? Yeah. So how does this relate to, we believe that our gift isn't as important as others. It should be important as others because God's the one who gives them all. Right? I mean, I think that's an easy one. It's like, oh man, I wish I could be doing something better. I wish I had a better gifting. Or their gifting is, you know, more visible and more valuable than mine. It's like, but they came from the same God. The person apportioning them is the same person. And he's just as powerful and strong there as he is here. And he sees a bigger plan that we don't see. What about Ephesians 4:16? Oh, wait. I don't have that one up there, do I? 1 Corinthians 12. That's what I have up there, yep. Yeah, this is a common verse. I mean, you could probably use this in 30 different teachings. But for me, I go, when believing my gift isn't as important as others or isn't as noticeable, and therefore I don't want to serve, I go, man, but you are indispensable. Sometimes the things that are seen, we actually try to hide. And the things that are unseen, we bring them into the light. At least is what he's saying here. Is, hey, there's value in all this, and it only works if everyone's doing it. I should move on for time. Number 5, we believe our service goes unnoticed or without reward. Yep, that can sort of be linked in a little bit of selfishness, but even in a good way, if it's not selfishness, it's like, hey, like no one's even going to notice this, therefore, I shouldn't even do it. What's Hebrews 6:10 say about that? Exactly. God sees it. And he's not unjust. He won't forget it. And so even if no one else sees it, he's still seeing it, and there's a reward to be given for it. And that goes back to our motivation. Why are we doing it in the first place? We're doing it because he did it, and therefore we should do it because he asked us to do it. 6, we don't know where to begin or start. What's Romans 5:8 say about that? Yeah, so who initiated there? God initiated. So when we say, hey, I don't want to serve because I don't even know where I would begin, I say, grab some initiative. Just go and try something. If you see a need, go and fill it. Go and fix it. And or that filling it and fixing it could be saying to someone, hey, there's a need here and I can't do it. Maybe you can, or can you think through who else could? But just letting it sit there, I don't think that's a valid reason to not then do it. How can you tell if it's working? I can tell if you've done it right. I think there's two ways. From the spiritual way, you'll feel something. Fruits of the Spirit if you're doing it well. Because we have the same spirit that Christ had, Christ served, and we are told how he felt when he did things according to God's will. He walked out God's purpose. There's at least 10 of them that we know of. So if you're not feeling that, if you're feeling begrudging or down or unappreciated or any of those, I go, hey, you probably didn't do it right or your motivation was wrong. Because I think there is a clear spiritual feeling that should come along with serving one another. 2, the physical. Is the body growing and maturing? Where do I get that from? Ephesians 4, that's our main verse. So if Christ himself gave the leaders of the church to equip his people for works of service, so that what? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So I think there are ways to actually say, hey, am I doing this right? Am I not doing this right? So a few discussion questions. I got to wrap it up here. 3 or 4. I'm just used to giving discussion questions in the student world. So if you're not used to that, sorry. Who do you need to thank for serving you? Service is sometimes a thankless job. So it happens all around us. People are actually doing these things. They're looking at these 6 ideas. And they're saying, hey, no, I'm going to ignore those and I'm going to press forward. I'm going to believe that God wants me to serve because he served me. And so I'm going to go and serve the most of these and the least of these. And get noticed or sometimes not get noticed. And if I don't get noticed, that's fine because God's going to notice me. But sometimes it's good if we notice each other. And so I think it's just great to walk up and be like, hey, thank you, I saw that. Appreciate that you did that. Even if it wasn't to me, it's like, man, I saw that you did that to so-and-so. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for serving someone. Discussion question two, what are the needs that you see around you, regardless of if you were able to fill those needs? Do you see things around you? Or do we get stopped and being like, well, I'm not skilled to do that? It's like, so? Bring that to the light. Bring that to someone. Now, depending on how you just interpreted that question, if you're thinking about others, what are the needs you see around you in others' lives? Make it internal. What are the needs that you see in your own personal life that you have? I think this one was a big discussion question for me when I thought through it. I'm like, man, I just go straight to thinking what other people need. And it's crazy. I actually forget what I need. Brandon, back in December, when teaching before Christmas time, he gave this example, and I really appreciated it. He said, you know, he starts making a list of what he wants for Christmas because people start asking, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And at the time, you're like, I don't know. But then as time progresses, you're like, oh, man, there's so much stuff I need. And so I go, man, what if we walked around to someone and said, hey, what do you need? How can I serve you? It'd be common and okay for someone to be like, you know, I don't know. I haven't actually thought about that. But what if we took it one step further and said, can I get back to you on it? Can I think about it, what I do need? And the next week, you come up and it's like, hey, you know, remember last week you asked me, I'm believing that you truly wanted to serve me. I thought of like six different things that you could serve me in. And if not you, then someone, but here they are. You know, you asked. In the same way that Brandon's gift list grows and grows and grows. But it's like, man, yeah, if I'm stopping to think about what I actually need because someone has shown genuine interest, I'm probably going to come up with something. And I want to follow up with that person. Three, and the final one, where or who are the areas that you can begin to serve over the next couple weeks? So this one's got a time frame on it. It's like, you know, as Brandon was saying before I got up here, it's not just lofty thinking. It's like, oh, I should serve more. And then you start thinking about, oh, but someone already does sound setup and someone sets up chairs and, you know, I bring my fried rice every week and, you know, I'm not needed. And those six lies start to creep in. Well, people wouldn't notice anyway, and they don't need me, and my gifts aren't even that good. And it's like, no. Like, how could you step out in faith? Like in Acts 6, those guys are stepping out in faith. Say, no, we need someone to serve here. We're serving. We need someone else to serve. Let's make this happen. And so you go up to someone, either in discussion question two, and say, hey, how could I serve you this week? What needs do you have that I could fill? Or, you know, take the opposite approach. Hey, I have needs. Could you fill these for me? Like, I was just thinking about all these needs I have, and you're the first person I saw in line next to me. Like, here are my needs. Do something with them. That would be fun. Don't be surprised if a lot of people just run out after church. Like, oh, I got stuff to do. I don't want to be told this. But anyway. These are three discussion questions just to think about. I try to keep a condensed version. I mean, you could talk about spiritual gifting for months and months and months. My heart and passion was just thinking about, hey, if I was going to walk up to a new believer or an existing believer and say, hey, there's seven things I need to teach you to, you know, get you off the races. I'd take Brandon six, and then I'd go, well, it'd be good if you served. I think that you'll find more of yourself in serving. You'll find more fruits of the Spirit in serving. You'll feel more of a purpose. You'll feel like you belong. You're no longer a spectator on the sidelines telling everyone else what's wrong. You're a part of the solution. You're a part of the problem. You go, hey, I have something I need to give here. Even if I'm not good at it. If you're not good at it, people will tell you you're not good at it. That's fine. Just say like, man, I'm not good at graphic design. I shouldn't do it. I'm going to hand that off to someone who's much better at it than I am. And don't be afraid to tell people that. It's like, hey, you know, you actually cause more work for us when you design stuff. You should stick with something else. And here's what your wheelhouse is. Like, do this. It's like, cool. I'm just figuring out. I'm just a volunteer. Turns out you're not really good at making burgers. You should go make popcorn. Less things to burn. Turns out you're not good at cooking. You should just go run the cashier and let other people cook. Okay, cool. God's running the greatest organization of volunteers I've ever seen because somehow, some way, every week, people show up to churches all around the world and are serving one another. And some of them are getting paid, some of them not. Don't Paid is irrelevant when thinking about service. In a way, we're all serving, whether we're paid or not. But, I don't know, the practical, the thing to really think about is like, hey, where could you do more? Or if you're already doing something, where could you have people serve you back? Like, this only works if the whole body's doing it, because the promise is, and I don't write this stuff, promises that the body will grow, people will grow into maturity. Almost after every single one of these, there's something about unity or one anothering. Like, it just goes hand in hand after each one of these verses. I don't know what your gifts are. I think I know what some of mine are. I'll let you guys tell me or not. So don't let that be a stopping place. Don't let any of these six be a stopping place. Just go, I have a gift. I'm going to try to use it. I'm going to step out in faith. Here's what I can do in the next couple weeks and see how it goes. If any of you prove me wrong, you get to speak. You don't get to speak in 2 weeks. But tell me, it didn't work out. And I'll go back and figure out why it didn't work out for you. I'll probably bring it back to the motivation. Did you do it for the right reasons? But it's a joy to be served. It's also really humbling. It's like, man, I don't deserve this. I don't need this. Like, they could be using this on someone else. And I go, don't rob them of their joy. Let them serve you. Serve one another. So Brandon, Owen, and I met up earlier this week, and we came up with a list of some practicals as it relates to our church. So I created a slide that Brandon's going to come up and speak on that may or may not still be valid, as he's had a chance to think about it over the last week. But anyway, there is... Ah, don't look! Give that to you. So.
Harry, appreciate that. So this is what I thought was going to happen.